the 20th of November, just before Thanksgiving, 2018, and just having a little visit with Darla Benda. And anyway, Darla, I'd like to start with your, well, let's start with your family growing up. You're from Farley.
Yeah.
What's your background in your family?
Okay. I come from a family. There's nine of us. We all started out in Catholic education, and I went to through a Catholic school, St. Joe's here in Farley, until I was through my freshman year, and I knew that St. Joe's was probably going to close. So then I went to Western Dubuque, graduated in 1975. I had two older siblings that graduated from St. Joe's.
Who was that? That was
Debbie and Diane, my older sisters. Okay. There's six girls. Six girls are the oldest, and then I have three younger brothers, and the youngest two are twins.
Okay.
But we all, except the older two, we all graduated from Western Dubuque. Let's see, what else? Then I married a gentleman, Steve, who graduated.
Were you classmates, or?
No, he was a couple years younger than me.
Okay.
He graduated with my sister.
How did you get together then? I mean,
I just knew, you know, Farley, and just everybody kind of knows. It seems like everybody. Actually, I think it was my sister that kind of ran around with him more so and hooked us up or whatever. But he was a graduate of Western Dubuque, and we have two kids.
Okay.
Tammy and Marty, and they both are graduates of Western Dubuque.
Right.
So it's just like, I don't know.
How did you connect on to employment as far as?
Actually, when I was in high school, I was in office education. Jody Wiggins.
Oh, yeah.
She was the teacher, whatever.
Yeah.
For office ed. Yeah. And then I got a job, I had to have been, by Geraldine McCarthy.
Okay.
Geraldine was principal at Epworth Elementary, and also we had share time at Placid. Okay. The kids from Epworth Piazza, EPP, yep. I think it was called. They went in the mornings, I believe, to Catholic education, and then I'm not sure why that was, that West Dubuque taught those kids.
Well, it was basically the parochial systems were looking for ways to sustain themselves.
Yeah. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
And I'm not sure what they taught them.
This was elementary.
Yeah, so was it just like reading or?
I don't know the arrangement there. I know I worked at Dyersville at that time.
At Courtney Camp? Or?
At the shared time.
Okay.
With Beckman. And we did, the junior high was math and reading, basically.
Okay.
And then we had the fourth grade elementary from Xavier. But all of that was basically because of the need that the parochial systems had. Because at that point, they were losing teaching nuns, and they were having to employ lay people.
Okay.
And that was putting a strain on their budget, obviously. And and apparently, that's a good question, because then I think they came to the West Dubuque School Board and Wayne and said, what can we do? And so that's kind of the arrangement that was
made. And how many years did that, do you know?
Yeah.
Was it quite a few years?
Yeah, I know exactly, because it started in 70, and then it went through the 70s into the 80s, throughout the 80s, because then I also did the program at Beckman. We did some high school
at the Annex.
And that continued until there was a legal challenge.
I kind of remember that.
I believe that was in 1989.
Okay.
And that challenge came up before the board, and I think the board realized that they couldn't win if it went to a legal battle. And at that point, they dropped the shared time in 1989.
Okay. And then that, so that would have probably been, they would have dropped it at Placid at the same time too then?
Quite possibly. I don't know about the exact date on that for sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But I would go there, I would leave work. I would leave school every day at noon.
Okay.
And drive to Placid, and I'd work for 3 hours.
Okay.
And it was like office work, but more so maybe correcting papers or helping a child with reading or math or something. And I did that from my senior year, and then after I graduated, I wasn't quite sure what I was going to do, and then Geraldine called me in the summer when I was off, probably, I don't know, June or July. I hadn't had a job yet, and then she said that the secretary that was at the Epworth Elementary was pregnant with her first child, and that she was married to a farmer, and she was going to just stay home and raise her baby or, you know, be at home. So then Geraldine asked me if I wanted the job, or, you know, this job was available, and I was just so fortunate.
Yeah.
So fortunate to work with her and that.
So you started out with Geraldine at the Epworth Elementary?
Yes. Just for 1 year. And then, of course, then St. Joe's closed. And I don't know, at the time, it's just so weird when I think about this here. To me, it seemed like, I guess it was because one day I went to work from Farley to Epworth. And I had, it was an ice, school wasn't called off, but there was ice on the roads. At that, the school wasn't called off yet. And I drove, and I had it was a two-lane road from Farley to Epworth, and I had the wheels on the right-hand side of the car, or, you know, on the gravel. It was so bad.
Okay.
And then I thought, then all of a sudden St. Joe's closed, and West Dubuque use that St. Joe's building as an annex, I think.
Right.
I'm not sure for how many years.
Yep, well, that was 74 to probably almost 10 years, I'd say.
Was it?
Yeah.
So then I called Harriet Fees, because there was an opening for a clerical person at that annex in Farley.
Okay.
And I thought, geez, I got to be close to home. I can't be in Epworth.
You're driving all the way to Epworth.
Yeah. So then I called Geraldine and I said, or not called Geraldine, I called Harriet. And I just said, what do I have to do to apply for that job? I'd like to, you know. And she said to me, well, we have an opening in this office. And I said, you do? She said, yeah, there's a young gal in here that's pregnant with her first child and she wants to quit work after, you know, the baby's born. So I can't remember if I was even interviewed or if I just was able to take that job.
So that was how you got
into the administration office.
Started.
Yeah, and it was Dave Wegman is the one that hired me, or, you know, who I worked for.
So that was...
That would have been in... So my senior year was 74 to 75, so 75, 76, so probably like starting of the 76 school year.
Okay.
I started working
Is that right? Remember your...
77.
Remember your original duties or all you got involved with?
Yeah, I remember typing purchase orders right away, and then I had to work with time cards. They were a nightmare. Bus driver time cards were a nightmare. And they were, it was every 2 weeks. We all got paid every 2 weeks, yeah. But the bus drivers were a week behind us.
Okay.
Because there was so much of, it just took so long to figure out the in and out times. And I'm not sure if that started right away. I'm not sure if the time card thing with the bus drivers, if after I started there, then we decided, no, we're going to pay the bus drivers just a week behind. We paid them the same time. They got paid the same day, but the time periods were a week off. Yes, just 1 week for them. Just because it took a little bit longer to there were so many at the time. I don't know, like,
well, we were 80, running how many routes at that
right,
time?
Right. Right. I did purchase orders and did accounts payable, and we had this huge, huge machine. I think it was called like a, as I recall it, it was called like a Burroughs L5000. It was this huge machine, and these every employee had a magnetic piece of paper, and you slid that into the machine, and that magnetic part read all the information that was on the card, your wage, your name, whatever. And then I just had to punch in, you know, like 80 hours or whatever, how many hours the person worked, push this card in, and then it generated a check.
Okay.
And then I did the kind of like the accounts payable thing too, the same way. And the machine was in this room, which was also shared by, wasn't really a room, it was, we had partitions. Ron Gerd at the time was underneath Dave Weichman, and
right.
And Ron and I, you know, or not, we didn't share it, but whenever I'd have to write checks, I'd have to go back to Ron's little cubicle, and that's where this big machine was at.
Okay, so that's what your responsibilities
yes.
were, pretty
yep.
much.
Yep.
Who were your other colleagues that were in the office?
And it was Jeannie Kramer. I took over for her. She was Jeannie Schultz. And then I took her job. And there was Linda Logston.
Okay.
And then she worked there until 1990. And then she left and got married and moved out east. Linda did. I still have contact with her. She lives now. She's back. Her husband died, and she's back in down in Anamosa. Or no, she's in Marion, but sometimes I meet with her in Anamosa. But who else was in there? Gary Less was in there. So transportation director, Millie Klosterman, food service director, Dave, Wayne Drexler, Harriet Fees.
Art was in there, wasn't he?
Art Hinker, yes. Was he at there? I think he was in there at that time.
Yeah, I think he was in that office back in the corner there.
Well, he had his own office.
Right, yeah.
Yep. Millie, yeah, I think that's all. And then Ron Gert started, I believe, in 1977 or 78.
Okay.
But our desk were, there were three desks in a row when you came in. I don't know if you remember that. There were three desks. There was one phone. And the phone was on Linda's desk.
Okay.
And then if we, I don't know.
How'd you work that out?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I had to call companies, or I think Dave just took care of that. If I had a problem with an order, I guess Dave took care of it, because I mean, it was almost like you had to
get permission to use the phone.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it was just, and no privacy. I mean, it was just, yeah.
How was it? Okay, how about working with Harriet? What's your memories of?
Of Harriet? She was, I don't want to say strict, but she watched, she, you know, didn't, there was no, like, fooling around, or a great person,
right.
Great person,
yeah.
But no, she, you were there to work, and that's, yeah, she, it was a great person. And then I ended up on her bowling team.
Bowled
with her,
right?
Yes, her and this Helen Williams.
Okay.
Do you remember Helen Williams?
Sure.
She was a,
yeah, she worked at the high school.
I forget. Can't remember what she taught.
I think she was English.
That could be.
She left before I got there.
Oh, so did she?
I didn't work with her.
And and there were all these ladies that I bowled with were all about Harriet's age.
Okay.
And that was probably the bowling part of it, was like Harriet's only
recreational.
Yep, that's exactly right. I don't think she did anything. She went to church. You know, she talked about going to church. She went to Epworth, to a Lutheran church.
She had the two sons? Was it
yes,
sons?
Ralph and Ed.
Okay.
And Ralph was a school teacher over by in the Chicago area.
Is that right?
And one time somebody asked, she told us that before Harriet had retired, that Ralph told his colleagues at that he would like to retire, but he couldn't because his mother was still working. So he was at retirement age by the time, you know.
Okay.
And then Ed worked at John Deere in Waterloo.
Oh, did he?
He had the two boys,
okay.
Yes. Yes. And I believe...
Were there grandkids then? She was, did she?
Yeah, she talked about the grandkids.
Okay.
Yes, very smart. A granddaughter, she had a granddaughter and two grandsons.
Okay.
Yes, Michelle, Jason, and I can't remember the other little one from Waterloo. Christopher, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was one of my, I didn't start, when did she pass away?
We were in this office here, so we've been here 9 years, I'd say maybe 7 or 8 years ago.
See, that's my regret is I didn't start this project soon enough to talk to her because, I mean, she was here from the beginning and... She would have had.
Oh, yes. Well, and her husband, Dave, I think Dave told me one time, her husband was the school board secretary.
Oh, really?
Okay. Before she was.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not sure why. I don't know. He worked for REC.
Okay.
She said when they moved into Farley and they lived across from the Catholic Church in a trailer home.
Okay.
But, yeah, she... talk very, very highly of Wayne Drexler. And you know, it was... she just had a lot of respect for him. Everybody did.
Sure.
And even for her.
Well,
you know,
I mean, as for my research and discussions, I think what happened was when the district was formed... Ralph Buckman was the principal at Epworth.
At the time? Okay.
There was already a public school there, a small one.
And he was there?
He was there.
Okay.
So then when they transitioned into getting all the legal things set up for the actual district, then they had a bond issue, which was passed in 1960.
Okay.
And then he was able to start hiring people. He hired Ralph Buckman, but I think the next one he hired was Harriet.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I wonder if her husband maybe was, and his name was Ralph.
Okay.
Also, I wonder if he was the secretary for the...
Right, at the public school, probably.
Before Western Dubuque was formed.
Quite likely.
I wonder if that's what it was.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably the way it worked. So then... you know, she was there from that initial beginnings for the district. So anyway,
and I really don't think she was. I don't really don't think she was ready to retire when she retired because the Western Dubuque was her whole life.
Sure,
it was her whole life. It was, and even after she retired, she would call me, and she knew stuff that I'm like, I have no idea where you're getting this information, but more, and she knew stuff more about the district. I mean, she was asking me questions. I'm like, I have no idea. You know, so she was still connecting to somebody, which was great.
Well, so you talked about working through the Burroughs machine.
Yes.
And that continued until we got into the age of computers.
Yes. And they were, it was like, I think, apples.
Right.
To me, they were apples. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think they were.
Okay. Then we started those, but I'm not sure if I did. They were just maybe for, I don't know if it was accounts, really accounts payable, though. No, it was another machine. I think it was an IBM.
Yeah.
I think the apples were just for, like, word
processing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not so much for software for... the accounting department.
Right.
Yeah. And then we had a big machine. The paper was huge in these huge binders. That machine, I believe, was an IBM. We did accounts payable that way. But she typed up, Harriet typed up all the bills for the board to present to the board by, you know, on a typewriter. Until we went to you know, software, yeah, like a, an Apple, and it was hard for her, I think, you know, to learn a computer,
yeah,
at that age. Yeah, but we did accounts payable and payroll off of this huge machine too.
That would have been quite a job in itself to present those bills to the board.
Yes.
Every time, every month.
She had to type them up, the company, and then she had to give them a description of what we purchased from that company.
Okay.
Textbooks, or the board wanted to know, she'd say, and then she'd have the dollar amount. Where, like now, it's just...
Yeah.
I don't think they give a description. What's whatever description's in the software, in that vendor file. But... We did. You had to enter each time card, even, you know, manually, the hours, and then you'd add them up, and you'd hopefully come out at the end. You know, I'd add these stack of time cards up because we had to get the correct total. How would you know that?
How many hours that were permitted for?
Right. It wasn't like everybody had 80 hours or 40 hours. The bus drivers would, you know, have. Maybe some would have 18, 19 hours a week, or some would have 16 or whatever. Maybe only had a half-time route. And then you'd have to make sure that the hours balanced, or you'd have to be, you'd be looking for errors. Yeah, you look back on that, and it was like a lot of work.
I'm just kind of moving along into the 80s. Other people that came to work...
Oh, gosh. It seemed like we were all the same.
Staff was pretty stable. Wasn't
right. Yeah. Until Linda got married and moved out east, then they hired Jenny Schindler.
Okay.
Jenny, she was Croffle for just a month or two. And then she got married, Jenny got married, but otherwise the turnover... You know, some would come. Mary Bogie was in the office for a little bit, if that was in the 80s, maybe even. And then she would go to Bernard, or she would work in another building. But for the most part, the staff was the same.
Yeah. So, now we're getting up to the time that Wayne's going to retire. So there must have been some memories of those. That period of time for you, right?
I remember going to his. To me, it was like sad. Like you thought he was going to be there forever.
Yeah.
You know, he was the only superintendent in the district. I remember going to his celebration at the fairgrounds. And thinking, and this is another thing I remember about Harriet when Harold Knutson was hired to replace Wayne. It was, and Harold was at the Western Dubuque High School, and we always referred to Harold as Harold, and it was always Mr. Drexler. We never called him Wayne. To this day, Mr. Drexler. But when Harold started, she told us, I'll never forget it, Harriet said, starting, you know, when he came to the office, we would be calling him Mr. Knutson.
Okay.
It was just, everything was proper and... You know, I just remember, and I just remember different times of, you know, Mary, Wayne's wife, coming into the school, and I don't remember the other boys, but I do remember Wayne Jr. coming into the office to see his dad or whatever. But, I mean, I don't remember a lot about Wayne, like, retiring. In my mind, I just thought that he would have been there forever.
Yeah. Well, so when that happened, I think it was 91, I believe. What differences occurred
after Harold came? To me, it seemed like then we went with the computers. Yeah. Maybe I don't know if we had like any Apple computers or anything when Wayne was there, or if we had one. It was maybe one in the whole. You know, just Everybody didn't have their own computers, and even. I'm trying to think of what kind of computer there was. That was probably
IBM's and
right. Even in after the 90s, because Amy Roush had started then. I think she started after Ron Gert left, and I'm probably jumping ahead of myself here. Then her and I shared a computer. We each had our own email accounts, but we had to share the computer.
Okay.
It's just to look back on that, but we did each, I think, have our own phone.
Okay, now you got the one.
Yes. Yes. Finally.
Okay.
Yeah, that was crazy to
who
think
was that?
Of.
Who was like when somebody called? Was there one person that did handle those calls and then?
Yes, well, and Linda Logston way back then, you know, and then there was these little buttons she'd have to push, and I don't think the calls ever went directly to, like, Dave or...
Wayne or whoever.
Right. Yeah. It was, because I remember one time, it was on a snow day, and a parent being very, very upset, and I had answered the call for some odd reason, and this parent, I don't know if Wayne... knew that that this person was upset on, and he said, "I'll take that call." And he was, you know, very, you know, the person's like, "Why? Because you couldn't win if you called off school."
Yeah, they were either way.
Right. So I was very thankful that, you know, I don't know if he could tell like I was upset, but yeah, there was one person that took the calls to Dave. Millie, yeah, but they all had their own phones.
Okay. And then gradually, then you know, the technology kept on coming for you. And did you get some training and that stuff?
Yes.
How'd that work?
Right. I remember this vividly. It was 1999. Dave and myself and Jenny and Amy went over to Aurora to go with the new software system that they're actually still using. There's been updates on it, but we had to go to Aurora, Illinois for 4 days to learn the whole software.
Okay.
The accounts payable, the payroll, just general ledger. Yeah, it was a big undertaking.
So that was a huge...
Oh, yes. And then it's even advanced further now because the time cards are inputted into the software system, so there's no manual entry.
Manual stuff at all.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's just quick. It's done. You knew what the total, what you were, you know, checking out now, what the hours are for all the hourly employees and implementing or, you know, into the software system. It's great.
Yeah.
The amount of time that saves with the technology.
Yeah. Okay, then you moved from Barley.
Yep. They had remodeled that office once, and I'm not sure if you were working for the district when they did that remodel.
I don't think so.
They had, because there was like, yes, there was like partitions. And then before we left there, Dave actually had an office with four walls.
Okay.
It wasn't the like little cubicles or the yes.
And so, what year was that when you guys moved into here then?
It was probably I'd say 2009 or 2010.
Okay. And that was a really nice transition.
Yes. But it was different because where I was sharing an office with, at that time, with Mark Frazier and myself shared an office. And then after I came here, I was back out in the open again.
Okay.
And it was just, you can hear everybody's phone conversations and, but not.
Yeah.
You know.
It was different from what you're accustomed to.
Right.
The other building.
And I had a window in the other office. And then when I got here, I was back in the middle again. And I didn't have a window.
Okay.
But, yeah, very nice.
Okay.
It should have been done a long, long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good thing to happen because you got pretty cramped over there as time went on,
yes.
I'm sure. And there's a lot more privacy here with these different rooms.
Right. And actually, in that other building, the office that we had was also almost like a storage room. We had so much stuff that we were just like a supply room that we had envelopes and just everything on the shelves. We're here now. We have your own supply room and a break room. And that other office when we first started, we had a little break room. In the years when I had first started, just a card table.
Okay.
And it was also the copy room and.
Yeah. So did you have a particular time where you could take time off and just have a cup of coffee with your group? How did that work?
Yep. And Harriet, I remember when I first started, she said, because I never ever took a break when I worked at the Epworth Elementary. I didn't know I could have a break. And then when we started in Farley, she said, "Will you come in here? We're going to have coffee." And I said, "Well, I don't drink coffee," so I didn't go in there. And then afterwards, after probably about a week or two, I figured, geez, everybody's going in there for coffee. I might as well take a break too. And then I got to drinking coffee.
Okay.
So they got me to drink coffee.
That was in Harriet's room then?
No, it was in this other little room that had the coffee machine.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I remember where the coffee pot was.
Yes.
So but, what did you take, like 15 minutes, 20 minutes?
Yep. And I think it was when, you know, you were almost afraid to sit in there any longer because you were afraid of Harriet. It was time to get back to work.
Right.
Like I said, a great person. Don't ever. And that's probably, I think sometimes people need more Harriets.
Sure. Yeah.
In the world, there should be more,
yes.
You know.
Yes.
But in a sense, I think Wayne Drexler was maybe the same way. You know, you came there to work and...
Yeah. Yeah. You know, he was, among other things, what I remember was he was a master at controlling the board.
Oh.
He was prepared. He had things orchestrated. You know, this is going to, here's the agenda.
Right.
Here's what needs to happen. He let the board know ahead of time.
Right.
What the stances were, for, against, et cetera. That never happened with Harold. In my recollection,
really?
It was totally different. And I mean, Wayne's way to do it was the way to do it because it was all prepared ahead
sure.
of time, you know. But
and his penmanship, do you remember that? Oh my gosh, it was just so perfect, and he you know, his writing.
Yeah,
it was just, you could read his writing.
Dave and I were always friends, and he would talk about if things didn't go well, the door was shut or slammed shut.
Oh my. I've seen that a few times. Oh, gosh. Not very often, but you knew that. Oh,
things weren't going well.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it was not good. I remember Dave probably told you the story one time. I was an employee. I think he maybe, I don't know if they went in there and talked about wages.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the one guy went out the one door and Wayne went out the other door and they came into the middle school and ended up running into each other. It was...
I never heard that one.
Oh, it was not good. Yeah, I remember that. Oh.
Yeah, then, just, you know, created so much change was collective bargaining.
Oh.
And man, that was
But when I started there was always the teachers always had a union.
Right.
Correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if they had that union when the district was first formed?
I think it probably moved into that stage, but it was not anything that was protected by state mandates or laws.
Okay.
It was still, I mean, they, as a group, they wanted to present their request for wages, but there was no requirement on the board's part to, you know, pay any particular attention to it until collective bargaining came in.
Really? Okay.
1970s, I think.
And then I'm not sure when the hourly people joined the union.
Well, I don't remember how that all worked date-wise, but gradually,
right,
you know, they formed their own groups.
Right.
And that worked, hopefully in their benefit. So.
And I remember one time when they were doing that bargaining with the teachers. Geez, I went over to, it was a little bar in Dyersville, I believe, downstairs, and it was Louis Himes, maybe? Does that sound right? He was an attorney?
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if he was on the West Dubuque side?
Yeah, he was.
Was? Okay.
Yeah.
We would go over there for a couple of days, and Harriet would let me go along with her, and so all we did was make coffee. We had to go over there and make coffee.
Really?
For these, yes. Yeah, so we was down, you know.
They were having the sessions.
Yes. I'm not sure why they didn't do it in the administration office, if they had to go to, like, a neutral place.
I guess that might have been it. Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe you were on the committee. Do you kind of remember that?
No, I was never on the committee.
You were never not.
I just would hear reports all the time of how things were going. And
right.
And that was kind of interesting because I think a lot of the final decision-making happened between Dave and some of the teachers.
Okay.
Informal, you know.
So they didn't have to go?
They didn't. They would go off by themselves.
Oh.
In a different setting and talk, you know, off the record, you know, that type
okay.
of thing.
Sure.
And I think that's how a lot of the contracts were agreed upon, was my recollection of that.
Okay.
But
there, wasn't there always an administrator on the team, or
yes.
There is now, or was?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember those kind of things.
Yeah. So that was, then you got Harold retired and...
And then it was Bev.
That was Bev.
And she wasn't there, I don't think. Right. But she had previously been in our office as the curriculum director.
Yeah, right.
And then left, I think. Went to maybe Keystone or something. And then she was there for, I don't know, a couple of years?
Maybe 2 years, I think,
that could
as
be.
I recall. And then...
And then Wayne came back for just...
A little bit.
Right? And then Harold maybe was in there too?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Jeff came in maybe 05 or something like that?
That could be.
And,
yeah, it was different. It, you know, it was different working with different ones because you didn't.
Yeah.
And Harold wasn't, Harold worked for the district, so we kind of knew who he was. So then when Jeff came, nobody knew anything about him, you know, didn't know his personality or, and he did an awesome job.
Yeah, I mean, what he was able to do outside of the office in the community, I think that's why there's a school over in Dyersville.
Probably.
It's because of him.
Yep. And if I remember this correctly, I think when he first came here, I think he was maybe going to move to Dyersville.
Okay.
And I think Dave maybe kind of talked him out of it. I'm not for certain.
Okay.
But just said, you don't know, you know, how hard that would, you know, how hard it would be maybe to live in that community.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad.
Yeah.
But I think he loves it where he's at. And
yeah. And we're golfing partners, and
sure.
I'm with him all the time.
Yep.
And anyway, we've, you know, for a lot of years and since he's retired and whatever. But I know he likes being here, and He was at Tipton quite a while before he came here, and still has a lot of connections down there.
I often wondered if he would have moved back, but I think he really likes it.
Yeah, apparently he likes it here pretty well. So.
Yeah.
So anyway, then now you got to, when did you retire?
I just retired in May.
Okay.
So Well, it was technically the end of June, but I've been not working since May.
Okay. So what's that like?
Oh, it was so sad when I first started, and I'd cried a lot.
Okay.
And everybody kept saying, you should be so happy. And I think it was because I worked with such good people.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because I can just come across town here and see anytime I want. And then today it was like, oh, now I have to get out when it's cold and, you know.
Well, it was your life, I mean.
Yeah, that's right. Every day for 40-some years, 44.
Yeah, wow.
Got up and went to work and...
He loved every minute of it.
Yeah.
That's the way I liked. You know, that was my thing, too. It just seemed like to be able to do that and love what you're doing is...
Right. So. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, that was kind of like, well, not really the purpose to get up, but yeah, now it's like, well, okay, I don't really have to get up this morning, you know, or, you know, not at a certain time. I need to have that figured out yet because it hasn't, you know, been 6 months or whatever, but I still not really don't have a schedule. And I suppose you really don't need a schedule when you're retired, do you?
Well, you know, the funny thing to me is that we say it all the time. Susie's been retired. This is her 30-year retirement. But you think, how did we ever get this all done before?
Right.
When we were working. And then the other thing is... it's not so much now, but earlier when the kids and our grandkids came, and when they left on Sunday, we'd be exhausted from...
Really?
from being, you know, just being in all that activity, not being used to it. Then you think, geez, how'd we raise this family when we were...
Yeah.
You know?
And I see that, too. I was at Medical Associates one day, and I was... actually waiting for Lefty was in the doctor's office, and I just sat out in the car and I watched these couples go. The wife would pull up with the van or her vehicle, and then the husband pulled up, and then he helped her get the kids out of the car. And I'm like, geez, I did this by myself.
Yeah.
I took two kids to doctor's appointments. My husband didn't have to be there with me, and maybe there was something a little bit more seriously wrong with these kids or whatever. But and I got him ready for school and came home and, you know.
Yeah.
And now it's
I had to prepare all the meals. And...
Yeah, you just did everything. And now it's like, oh, what are we going to have for supper tonight? You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's great. Retirement's great.
Where are your kids at?
Tammy works at, she married a farmer, so she lives up in, at Strawberry Point is her address.
Okay.
And she works at the bank in Edgewood. And Marty, she's 36, and Marty, and she's been married just two years, and Marty is 32, and actually has a lot out at the South Lake subdivision, but he's still at home with us.
Okay.
And he is a 911 dispatcher for the city of Dubuque.
Okay, wow.
Yeah. His lights and sirens have been his whole life.
Okay.
And Tammy had worked at American Trust for... before she got married. But anyhow, now she's up there and married to a farmer. And
okay. So do you have any hobbies or things you like to do?
Oh, I like to shop. I love crafty things. Love going to craft fairs. I don't know. Just being with friends and...
Okay.
I don't... You know, I used to bowl. Yeah, Harriet, actually, that you think that got me bowling, and I probably didn't even have 100, you know, per game. Yeah.
Okay.
But then afterwards, after I doing it for so many years, I was better. But no, I like to read, Sudoku. I don't know, the summertime, just take care of flowers.
Okay.
But I'm not ready to be on the garden club yet. I want to just have
transition.
Right. Just let me And maybe I should have hopped right into that, you know. But no, I don't want to schedule right now. Just don't want.
Yeah.
In that, it's something I have to do. I did that for 40 some years. You had to go to work, and now I think I'm ready to just, oh, if I don't get that done today, I'll
sure
do it tomorrow. If I don't.
Well, geez, Darla. I mean, 44 years. That's,
is that crazy?
Man, that's awesome. I mean, I don't know many people that.
Oh, Tim Showalter, and he had I think 45. Tim, I think, had 45. I'm not sure what Dave had.
Well, Dave and I were hired the same year.
Really?
1970.
Okay, so then how many years had you had?
I went to 2001, so I did 31.
Okay.
Then Dave had, Dave was,
I'd say, what?
30, 40. I want to say 43 or so.
That could be. And I'm taking my... when I worked at Placid, so it was 43, but when I add my year when I was in high school, that would be the 44 years.
Okay.
It's crazy. Yeah, it was my whole life, my Western Dubuque. And to this day, actually, when I came in today, my daughter gave me she wanted some Booster Club. Western Dubuque, you know, they're just Bobcats, you know, Western Dubuque 100%.
Yeah, we went to the playoff game.
Did you?
Both the games, yeah.
I watched it on TV, and it's, yeah, the second time I seen in the paper where they sold over 1,000 or 1,000 tickets. That's amazing.
Our oldest granddaughter is a senior at UNI.
Really?
And she lives across the street from the Unidome.
Okay.
So last week, we stopped at her place, and she says, well, you don't have to park over there. I'll just drive you over. And she dropped us off and came back when the game was over and picked us up.
Really?
It worked out really good.
I can't believe that your oldest granddaughter.
Oh, and she's going to graduate December 15th, but she left Saturday to go to London. She spent last year in London.
Okay.
And when I found out that she was going to be there, taking some classes, I knew that Coffees had a daughter that lived in London.
Really?
So I got a hold of Pam, and anyway, she contacted Laura, and it turned out that... Laura lived like 10 minutes from where Caitlin was going to college. So then I got hooked up, and then one of Laura's daughters, her sons picked her up at the airport when she flew in. They took her to their house, and she'd spend a lot of her time with them.
Really?
And it was so great because we knew there was a connection there, and it was pretty awesome.
So how long was she there?
She was there from late August to mid-December.
Really? I remember the Coffees.
Yeah, yeah, Mike and Pam. And yeah, they were both Laura's teachers. They married somebody that's very well-to-do, and so they live in London, but they have a home around Chicago, and they have a home out in Colorado.
Really?
And Mike and Pam live at this...
The home in Colorado?
Home in Colorado, yeah, from what I've been told, so anyway.
Really? That's interesting. So then, Bob, so how many grandkids do you have?
I have five.
Okay.
Jill has a 14-year-old and a 10-year-old. They live in Elmhurst, which is near Chicago.
And Jill's the oldest?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Kelly lives in Marion.
Okay.
And Caitlin's the oldest one, and then Aubrey is 20.
Okay. Of Kelly's.
Kelly's. So then Becky went to St. Ambrose for college. She moved to Florida.
Okay.
And has been down there since 2007. And she was in hotel management, and she went with the La Quinta chain. And she's a manager, hotel manager, and she's gone from places, Panama City, Jacksonville, She finally, they gave her the management position in Orlando. She runs the biggest hotel in Orlando, La Quinta.
Okay.
And she has a 3-year-old son, Christian. He's just three, so he's the youngest grandchild.
Okay.
So that's our family. Okay.
And how many are there? You said five?
Yeah, five, yep.
So is he the only boy?
No, Marco is Jill's son. He's 12.
Okay.
So
you get together now for Thanksgiving at all?
Yeah, those two kids will come for Friday, I think it is, Friday and Saturday. And what we do is, this will be our third year, we go to Florida. Susie and I go to Florida in mid-January.
Okay. And you stay for a couple months?
Stay for a couple months. Then we'll get to see Becky and Christian.
Do you stay kind of close to them?
Yeah, not too far away.
Okay.
Around Orlando. We found a nice resort that we stay at. And the weather last year was awesome. We get up every morning and go out at the pool, put our towels on the chair, and a bunch of Canadian people.
Really?
So,
yeah. We're going in January to, I think it's Davenport, Florida.
That's where we are.
You are not?
Yes.
Yes, and we're renting a home away, one of those vacation rentals by owner or whatever. We're going with some friends for, the last week of January, just for a week.
Okay. Do you know the address or?
Not right offhand. I was looking it up. In fact, I was over the weekend. I was telling my sister about it. I think it's a 5-bedroom, private pool. It looks like it's a part of a subdivision or a part of a.
Is it a resort or?
I think so.
Okay, we're at Bahama Bay.
Okay, and I'm not sure. Do you know any of the other ones in the area?
Yeah, there's many. It's hard.
Is it? Okay.
It's hard to tell.
That doesn't sound familiar.
But anyway, yeah, Davenport is, we kind of like it because it's still, well, you kind of feel like you're out in the country a little bit.
Okay.
It's not so crowded, except for the, boy, the highways are busy. You don't want to be any on those roads between 4 and 6.
Okay.
In the afternoon or in the morning from 7 to 9 or something like that.
Really?
Other than that, it's not bad.
So do you have friends down there, or you've gotten to know friends, or no?
No. Well, we've met people now. Yeah,
sure.
Since we're down there. So we're not very far away from Wickham's. Tom and Brenda are down there.
Oh, really?
So anyway.
Is that their permanent home?
Well, they do 6 months.
Okay.
And 6 months, and they live in Dubuque for the other six.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, listen, thanks so much for
You're welcome.
Sharing your memories.
I don't know if a lot of information, but it's just crazy.
So you're still transitioning from being working here? And
It was just one of Lefty's cousins stopped this summer. She had just turned 60, and they live up in the cities. His cousins, there was like five of them from the same family, and they're all over the place, Texas, and one's a lawyer, one's a, I think a principal in a school in Texas. They all are very successful. Anyhow, she said something to me about retirement. I just started to cry, and I'm like, she was like, stop it. And I said, I don't know. It's just everybody's just been so good. And that was like probably a month or 6 weeks ago, and I'm like, I'm fine, you know. Just don't bring it up or whatever, but.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, it's good. I said, people are going to think I got fired if I keep crying.
Yeah, it's just, this was a great place to work. I mean,
yeah, that's right.
And so many good people and lots of great memories of all those times.
Oh, my gosh. And even when my last day of work, Dave came in here, and I had brought my first check stub. And my last, I had both. I had
really,
my, yeah. My first, well, I didn't have my last check stub because I was gonna continue to get paid through June, but But I had my friend, and he looked at me, and I think he thought I was crazy. It was this long thing, and it folded over like folded over like three times. And I told him that, and he was just, and I said I had Geraldine for a boss and Mark for a boss, or Dave for a boss and Mark, and I said, I couldn't have had it any yeah. better.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, what happens to me, because I, went through so many students
right.
in different ways, but I'll be, let's say, a couple years ago, I was in the line getting ready to fly back from the airport, and all of a sudden somebody yells at me, and hey, Mr. Howard, and we were at the Daytona Raceway.
Oh, no.
And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden this guy comes running up. It was an almond from Farley.
Here. Oh, really?
One of the almonds.
Yeah.
And so we had a nice visit. Then we were at a shopping center, and some girl come out of a changing room. It was a student. It was crazy stuff.
Well, you think of that. Yeah, a lot of them. And sometimes you probably remember them, and maybe not. You probably remember the ones that, were in the office, spent the time in the office with you. And
Jake Feldman's a principal. That was amazing. I mean, that's really cool.
How old was he? Wasn't even a student. Was he a student?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he was.
Yeah, he was
same age as Mark, maybe? I'm not sure.
Yeah, Mark was Becky's class.
Okay.
And Jake was about the same time.
Yes.
Maybe a year or two later, possibly.
And never in your wildest dreams would you have thought that that's where he would have ended up.
Pretty crazy.
It is crazy. Well, you have a nice Thanksgiving, Bob.
You too, Darla.
Christmas.
Thanks for
I know. I didn't really give you a lot of information, but...
We gave a lot.
A lot of memories.
Yeah.
So you're still going to continue to interview people then?
Well, there's an awful lot of people I could interview, so students and...
Oh, really? Good
for you. I just did Jim O'Mara this summer.
You did? Where's he at?
He's down in Indianola.
Okay.
South of Des Moines. Someplace before that, before he left Cascade.
I wonder if he has one of his children down there. Okay.
The reason that he moved down there, the daughter had some cancer. And she's doing okay.
Okay.
But one of the boys is an administrator at the...
TV9 First Alert Forecast. For your Tuesday, our sky does turn partly cloudy. Look for a high in the upper 20s. Mostly clear tonight. We'll go back down only to the low to mid 20s. Tomorrow, we've got plenty of sunshine around. It should be a little bit warmer with a high right around 33. From mid-30s, likely on Thanksgiving Day. Then we get our temperatures back into the 40s for both Friday and Saturday. The current Mississippi River stage at the beach is 11 feet. That's your latest TV9 First Alert forecast. I'm meteorologist Kyle O'Mara on AM 1370 KDTH.
75?
Yep.
Yes, Preachner.
About Preachner.
Right here?
Yep.
C36. Swipe on the side. Sound is down. Would you like to copy your receipt?
No, it's okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
by meteorologist Kyle Myers. Listen to the First Alert Forecast on AM 1370 KDTH, the voice of the Tri-State.
Select B4.